Connor, welcome back to another edition of We're Not All Like This, presented, of course, by Home Field Apparel. Today, we're talking about the University of Texas Longhorns. And thinking about this episode from a branding and apparel perspective, I really only have one question for you. How much anxiety does getting the orange right cause you and your staff when you're thinking about, like, okay, it's time to make a new Texas thing?
You know, there's two colors in our warehouse that we only use for one school.
Yeah.
Both shades of orange.
Yeah.
You can guess which two, of course, one being Texas.
I can, yeah.
And you'll be shocked to learn that nobody else uses Tennessee's orange.
Uh-huh.
And both fan bases, I would hear if the orange was incorrect. And so we go to great lengths to ensure that those oranges are correct. And honestly, I will say the burnt orange looks so... We sell a lot of Texas gear that's very simple.
Yeah.
Because the colors do such a heavy lift. I mean, it looks... On specific garments too, like a jacket, it looks really clean.
Oh, and it's so... With a lot of, I mean, like, look, I root for a school that has orange prominently as well. Orange is not unusual in the college apparel space. But there is something about the burnt orange that, like, your brain, and this is what Texas wanted, clearly, your brain immediately knows what that is. Like, there's no, like, is that Oklahoma State? No, it's like, that's Texas. That's 100% Texas, no questions asked.
Yeah, there's really no questions asked. It's a tough one to match. You'll even notice on different materials. If you watch, this is the stuff I do, if you watch a football game and you look at their helmets versus their jerseys, it looks different because it's really impossible to match a finish or
a fabric to paint and all of that.
Fabrication to paint. So it's really tough, but we spent a long time ensuring when we got Texas in 2021 that was going to be the correct burnt orange and nailed it, which is great. Haven't had any issues, but yeah. They are a school, though, like I said. I mean, some of our best-selling Texas shirts are some of our simpler designs just because the white against the burnt orange just creates such a clean look. So personally, I actually have no strong feelings as a fan either way about Texas, probably just because I live in Indiana. But some of my favorite shirts are some of our just of the whole website are Texas stuff that just looks really clean.
And you know, I think often when I think of home field or when we talk about home field, we're talking about digging into the archives and finding, you know, branding that hasn't been seen in some time or used in some time. But the other fun thing about home field is there's also a newness to it. Texas wins its first softball championship. There you go. We got a couple of home field shirts for you. So it's not just as much as I love the like archival element of home field, like, you all live in the present as well. You all celebrate new and exciting ventures in Texas Longhornery.
Yes, that's a word.
And it's a safe and comfortable word to say.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure that's in their style guide. That was a great transition, Ryan. Wonderful. We did launch our Texas softball national champions shirts, doing quite well. It was nice. You know, I was just in Norman, Oklahoma for work, and as great as they are, it was nice to launch a different color shirt this year for the softball national championship other than crimson.
Yeah.
We were getting kind of tired of that. So
yeah. Well, Texas and Tennessee come up on this episode. We absolutely get into the real UT debate. Texas
I wonder what your guests thought about that. I wonder which side they picked.
Here's how I framed it. I'll go ahead and give you a little preview. I didn't ask them, like, who is the real one. I did ask them, like, do you really care about this? Is this really important to you? And I'm not going to tell you what they said. I'm going to make you listen to the episode and figure that out. But I'm going to let you start listening to it right now.
Hey, y'all. I'm Will Baser. I founded the Longhorn subreddit, and then that turned into a podcast, which turned into a writing gig, which turned into watching a lot of tape on high schoolers. That didn't get me thrown in jail. Then I got my MBA at the University of Texas. Big fan, and now I run software companies.
My name is Sarah Cannon. I am a Texas Longhorn class of 2016. I have been in Austin, Texas, basically since I went to the university. So came here, never left. It's been about 12, 13 years now. I actually only attended UT for 3 years. I transferred in, fun fact. And I am also a moderator of the Run Post Option Discord, which is a supporting Discord, like fan community for associated, EDSBS, Banner Society sort of, community. So, you can come and join us through a couple of different ways if you'd like to come and hang out with us.
My name is Gerald Goodridge. I attended the University of Texas from 2004 to 2008. I say that intentionally because it was the next academic calendar year, but I still graduated in 4 years. That's what we tell folks. I also now cover the University of Texas for SB Nation a little bit, and then also for an independent podcast one of my best friends and I run called The Longhorn Republic. We've been doing it for 7-8 years now. We are masochists. We started a football-focused podcast during the Charlie Strong years because apparently we just like to relive terrible, terrible Saturdays. And that's been a really fun journey, and we've grown an audience, and now we're having a good time.
For a lot of schools, getting picked or not picked by the Big Ten or the SEC feels like it is in some ways impacts their sense of self or their identity or this, that, or the other. Texas feels like an exception in that regard. From the outside looking in, I kind of feel like Texas is like, well, we would be fine no matter what. We're Texas. And while we're happy to be here, This isn't crucial to who we are and what we do. Am I off in that assessment?
I don't think so. And I think it's really funny you ask that because, you know, as we're recording this yesterday, I think I was looking through memories on social media, and that's when the rumors of Texas going to the Pac-12, you know, sparked up several years ago. And so, you know, Texas had been flirting with leaving the Big 12 for a long time. And so, you know, for Texas itself, you always have to talk about these things and like you feel kind of douchey doing it, but like, you know, Texas, the brand itself has carried it for a long time, where when they were terrible, it was still a big brand. When they were, you know, getting the crap kicked out of them at home by Kansas, you know, those are things that, you know, the brand still survived, for lack of a better term. And so, you know, I think Texas would have been fine and Texas fans would have been fine wherever they landed. I think I'll say it like this. I think some of the self-importance that Texas fans have marries up really well with the mythos of the SEC. And, you know, it means more and all of that thing. So I think that lines up with a lot of the, you know, the air of superiority that I think Texas fans carry themselves with. I think the same thing was said for the Pac-12 on the academic side of things, where the Pac-12 was seen as, you know, having prestigious academic institutions. And, you know, for all its faults, Texas, you know, at least, you know, previously to, you know, what's currently happening now, is known as a really great academic institution. So Texas fans really always find the right narrative to make themselves feel good about where they're going to land. And so, you know, the SEC landing place and really coming in and having success early across all of the sports, you know, Texas fans like, yeah, we knew this was going to be the case. But I think 2 years ago, most of us were sweating bullets.
Yeah, my initial gut check is yes. Culturally, I still don't know if I see myself in my sports fandom as a Texas fan as like an SEC. I don't know yet if I feel connected to that, which it could be a good thing in some ways. But I do, but where it serves us, absolutely. Yes. I'm not above like taking what serves me and leaving the rest, if you will, as when it comes to like SEC.
Yeah.
Why not? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Kick me out? It's fun when it's fun. It's been fun so far. Knock on wood, obviously. You literally never know what's going to happen. I think you're right about how it's going to be different for a school like Oklahoma in a lot of aspects, especially with the way their first year in the SEC ended up going.
Tell you're very broken up about that, by the way.
I'm so sad about it. Boy, did it just really make me just the saddest I've ever been.
I don't think Texas fans have any SEC pride. I don't think they had any Big 12 pride. They probably had some Southwestern Conference pride just because of how long it was. I think large part they don't have any SEC pride is because we're just so new to it. Mm-hmm. And also we're kind of bucking it. for the last, what, 10 years are like, oh, Texas A&M and their SEC pride. It's all because of SEC pride. So we go into it, we're like, we're not going to be like them. But at the same time, it's like, yes, like Texas fans, we're known to be, you know, we feel superior. And, you know, for some reasons, yes. And for some reasons, like, it's definitely us blowing smoke up our own ass. But, I think when it comes down to this, like, Texas, and the reason that Texas has that sort of feeling to themselves is they were the main reason, when it came to the Southwestern Conference, Texas and their deals were basically funding all the other schools. Rice, TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech, you know, whether or not they want to admit it or not, a lot of the reasons they had money was because of Texas. Well, maybe not SMU, but like Texas kind of, you know, was they were kind of riding the coattails of the Longhorns, right? Yeah. The Longhorns, A&M, in kind of Arkansas, and that kind of continued into the Big 12. And so, you know, it was the coattails of Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Nebraska until Texas went 9-1 against Nebraska, and then they're, you know, no more gray shirting. And because of all of this, Texas kind of had that superiority complex because of, you know, we are the reason you're making money. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we are constantly making more money than you. We're constantly the reason that, you know, you even have a program to the level that you do. So, like, yeah, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread because of that. You know, regardless of our win-loss record, right? We were good in the 60s. That's when TV came about, and that's the, you know, got the Longhorn logo everywhere. Great for marketing. And because of that, like, you know, Texas is everywhere, made a lot of money, have a lot of oil money. So I think that's a large part of where it comes kind of historically.
Yeah. How did it feel seeing the game against A&M come back?
It was so much fun, Ryan. Thank you so much for asking. I'm so glad you asked. Oh my gosh, it couldn't have been more fun. I couldn't be more delighted to have it back, in fact.
Whoa, easy there, partner. That is the conclusion of the free preview portion of this episode of We're Not All Like This. If you want to hear the whole thing and get access to episodes of The Single Wing and Numbers and Words and maybe some other fun projects down the line, you just head on over to phantomisland.show. You sign up for a paid subscription today.